Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is Reverend Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. You can worship at the hour of 8 a.m. or 11 a.m. at the Brooklyn West Campus, or you can worship at the hour of 10 a.m. at the Brooklyn Northeast Campus, located at 1203 Summit Parkway, where the campus pastor is the Reverend Dr. Chris Levy Johnson. For more information and or directions, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. Brooklyn consists of over 60 ministries to serve you and your family. Come by and have a Brooklyn experience. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 062418, 062418, when a man gets in God's way. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Everybody cannot handle success. Unfortunately, there are many people who are failures today, not because they did not reach the top, but because they did not know what to do with success once they did reach the top. For you see, success can break you just as quickly as it can make you. Success can all of a sudden have you interrupting award shows and marrying a Kardashian and claiming that slavery was a choice for black people once you sold a few million records if you're not careful. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Success can have you thinking it's okay to just grab a woman anywhere and talk about a woman in any kind of way and make you look like the most ignorant person in the world, even if you claim the most powerful position in the world, if you're not careful. Success. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Success, if you're not careful, can get the best of you and bring out the worst in you. Success can be fulfilling as well as it can be deceiving. That's all I'm saying. It can cause us to think more highly of ourselves than we should. It's easy for us to start believing that whatever we've done by ourselves, that we cannot be moved, that we are invincible and indispensable, that we are accountable to nobody but ourselves. What we have to understand is that everybody is accountable to someone or something. Can I talk to you today? People do not have the right to do whatever they want, however they want, whenever they want, without having to answer for it at some point to somebody or something. I'm in the text. This was a lesson that Saul had to learn. And you know, I've learned that there always have been and always will be some force, some person, or some circumstance in our lives that will hold us in check. Oh, can I talk to you, brothers? Yeah. There's going to be some force that's going to hold us in check. That force may be persons such as parents or a spouse or children or other family members. That force may be friends or associates or others who knew us when and don't mind reminding us of where we come from and what we used to be. Our employers, our jobs, our responsibilities and obligations may cause us to pause and consider before we speak or act, something to hold us in check. That force may be the conscience of our faith or the home training we received that reminds us that we should know better than to do certain things we do or act the way we act. That force could also be something or somebody keeping us in check. But all of us have some regulating force in our lives that holds the leash on our foolishness. And it tries to keep us on the right track. King Saul had such a force in his life, and his name was Samuel. Samuel the prophet. If nobody else knew, Samuel knew. If Saul himself had forgotten, Samuel remembered. Come on, Bible readers. Samuel did not forget the nature of Saul's kingship. And so when success began to go to Saul's head, Samuel was there to remind him that he did not come to the throne on his own. He did not reach his status simply by his good looks and charisma. He did not climb the ladder of success by his own intellect and intelligence, but it was God who had brought him this far and made him who he had become. It was God who ordered Samuel to anoint Saul as the first king of Israel. It was God who looked beyond Saul's faults and saw the people of Israel's needs. It was God who put him there. Ooh, y'all mighty quiet. That's all right. That means you're listening. But Saul, however, chose to rule in his own way, forgetting who had put him where he was in the first place. Saul's, I told y'all I didn't really want to preach. I wanted to sing, but y'all asked me to preach. So you can, Saul let his way get in God's way. Are you with me here? You see, we got to be careful, y'all, about burning the bridges that have brought us over. Saul forgot that whatever the Lord gives, the Lord can take away. And this just ain't for the brothers. This is for the brothers in particular, but it's for everybody in general. Don't hang up on God right here. You see, we can misuse and abuse what God has given us. Hear God now. If we don't use what God has given us in the right way, his way, and with the right spirit, the Holy Spirit, we can very well lose it all. God gives us health, but if we fail to take care of our bodies, we will lose our health. God gives us talents, but if we fail to take care or to use our talents in the way that God desires, we can lose them. God gives us opportunities, but if we fail time and time again to make the most of those opportunities, God will not continue opening doors of opportunity to us. All I'm saying is we've got to make the best of what God blesses us with in his way and not our way. Saul thought he could just disregard God's word, disrespect God's will, and disobey God's way. He thought he could, back to the text now, he thought he could sin and then use sacrifices to patch things up and make things right between himself and God. And so we see that the second thing besides success that stood in God's way because Saul wanted to do things his way was sin. Let me hear you say it. Because see, y'all don't like to hear about it much in this modern day. But the Lord said, talk about it, because it's all in this text. Sin. Can I tell you, God knows when we are being real. God knows, I don't care what people may say, God knows our heart. He knows our every decision and intention. God knows, I tell you. And God knew Saul's heart, which is why God sent Samuel to Saul one day after Saul had sinned one too many times. Can I tell you, there is such a thing as sinning one too many times. Yeah. I believe God does get fed up with us. He might not give up on us, but he does get fed up with us at times. Am I right about it? I think God does get angry sometimes. In fact, don't take my word for it. The Bible says in Psalm 103, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Yes, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. But when Saul had sinned once too often and he was making a sacrifice for his wrongdoings, Samuel confronted him and he raised the rhetorical question. And I want to read it real quick according to the New International Version, those preceding verses, verses 23 or 22 and 23. He said, "What pleases the Lord more, Saul? Burnt offerings and sacrifices or obedience to his voice?" He then gave the answer as the Spirit gave him utterance, saying, "It's better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better to listen to God than to offer the fat of sheep. Disobedience is as bad as the sin of sorcery. Pride is as bad as the sin of worshiping idol gods." He said, "You've rejected the Lord's command. Now he rejects you as king of Israel." I tell you, Saul was a man that tried to do it his way, and his way got in God's way. Saul had it all, but he lost it all. And when Saul lost his kingdom, he was never the same person. For you see, that's what sin does. It not only changes our circumstances externally, but it changes us internally for the bad. Sin, it affects not only what we have, but also what we are. It gives us another personality, one that is a distorted and disfigured version of our true self. Sin and remorse had reduced Saul to a shell of his former self. He still looked like the same Saul on the outside, but was destructively different on the inside. This personable, charismatic, handsome young man became an irritable, disgruntled, and egotistical old man who was difficult and almost impossible to live with. Sin, he became then suspicious and paranoid of everybody around him. And so it led to the third thing obstructing Saul in his reign as king over Israel. Not only success, not only sin, but also self. Self. Self brought about the demise of Saul. Let me deal with it before I get to your hope. I know you're tired of hearing about it, but I got to deal with it. When we become distrustful and doubtful of everybody around us, we really got a serious problem with self. When we start believing, brothers, that everybody is out to get us and everybody wants what we have, we've got a serious problem with self. When we start thinking that no one likes us and everybody's against us, we got a serious problem with self. It's no wonder why Jesus gave the requirement for discipleship, saying, "If any man be my disciple, if you want to follow me, you got to first deny self, take up your cross, and follow me." Saul, Saul, he turned on those who were closest to him, who were just trying to comfort him and help him. He had a young armor bearer and soldier by the name of David, who began to score victories on behalf of the king. Now at first, Saul was pleased with the service David was rendering. However, when the people began to sing, "Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his tens of thousands," Saul's insecurity and jealousy drove him to destruction. Oh, brothers, when we are threatened by another brother's success, we got a serious issue with self. When we can't stand to see another person doing well, when we lose sleep over it and we sweat and stress about it, we've got a serious issue with self. When we can't stand to see God blessing somebody else and bringing somebody else out, we have a serious issue that needs to be dealt with and we need to be delivered from. And it all has to do with self. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. Soon Saul found himself now battling the Philistines again. This time, however, he had reduced his army because he had driven David and a number of his more able soldiers away from him. And so the battle was now going against him. Can I tell you, it's hard to fight life's battles when we have driven the Spirit of God away. It's hard to fight life's battles when we have driven those whom God has sent our way away. The battle can be extremely tough when we've driven the source of our strength away. The battle will go against us every time when we're fighting without God's presence, because we're fighting with severely reduced forces. We're fighting without the power we need to have victory. There in battle, Saul was mortally wounded. Some of y'all know the story. And so he asked his armor bearer David to kill him, or else the Philistines would capture him and he would die in dishonor. But when David refused to do so, what did Saul do? He fell on his own sword and killed himself. Woo, I tell you, that's a whole sermon in itself right there. But what a tragic end to the life of a man who had everything going for him at first. Saul had a problem with success. He had a problem with sin, and he had a problem with self, because he could not handle success, because he could not overcome his sins, because he could not manage himself. He rejected God's sovereign rule over his life, and God rejected his kingship over Israel. Saul had it all, I said one more time, but he lost it all. He lost his kingdom, he lost his health, he lost his mind, he lost God's spirit, he lost his friends, he lost his supporters, and eventually lost his life. My brothers and my sisters, we can have everything going for us, but if we don't have the Lord in our lives and at the front of our lives, can I tell you, we'll lose it all. It might look good for a while, but sooner or later, it'll all come crumbling down. But can I tell you, on the other hand, we can start off with little or nothing. But if we do have the Lord on our side, if we are anchored in God's love and are committed to doing God's will, God's way, if our hearts are pure and our minds are set on serving God, if we abide in Jesus and Jesus abides in us, then we can then do, be, have, and keep whatever it is we desire. Did not God's word say, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart? Oh, praise his holy name. All I'm trying to tell you is, do whatever you do God's way and not man's way. We must be careful about success. We must confess our sins, and we must have control over self. Oh, but here's your hope. Oh, praise his holy name. As I hasten to a close here, as you deal with success, and as you deal with sin, and as you deal with self, the Lord told me to tell you, you've got the blessed assurance of a Savior. Yes. As you're dealing with success, sin, and self, you got a Savior, I tell you. Unfortunately, King Saul did not have the blessed benefit of a Savior, which is perhaps why success, sin, and self got the best of him and brought out the worst of him. Oh, but on this side of the incarnation, come on, somebody. On this side of Calvary, on this side of the resurrection, I'm happy to report to you today that we do have a Savior. And you see, brothers, that's why we can't beat ourselves up if we have sinned. And we can't definitely look down upon another brother if they have sinned. For you see, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 that if a man is overtaken in a fault, if a man sins and is caught committing a sin, it says, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. He said, bring them back, lift them up, give them another chance. Don't give up on them. Don't put them out, but restore such a one. And then it said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You see, some of us would rather ridicule and reject rather than restore such a one. And maybe it's because we're just not spiritual enough. Maybe it's because we're not as spiritual as we say we are. But what we've got to understand is sin is sin. Did you hear what I said? Yeah, you've done some dirt, and I've done some dirt. I've made some mistakes, and you've made some mistakes. Self has gotten the best of me, and self has gotten the best of you. And so, you see, we can't look at another man's dirt, and then all of a sudden think that our dirt is clean dirt. Do you hear what I'm saying? There's nothing that makes your dirt clean because my dirt is dirt. But everybody has some dirt in their lives. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And can I tell you today, that's why all need a Savior. Oh, praise his name. A Savior who can help us handle success by telling us that the greatest of us shall be servant of all. A Savior who suffered, bled, and died that his blood might wash away all of our sins. I said, we need a Savior whose Holy Spirit can keep me humble, reminding me that it's not all about myself, but it's all about the Lord. Oh, praise his name. Praise God this morning that we have a Savior. A Savior who said as he faced the end of his earthly existence as a man kneeling down in a mortal frame, realizing his mortality, not my will, but thine will be done. Oh, praise his holy name. And you see, like Saul, this Savior was also a king. But how many know he was no ordinary king? As a matter of fact, he's the King of Kings. Oh, praise his name. For unlike Saul, who had everything going for him, this king had almost everything going against him. I said, King Saul came from a rich and wealthy family, but this king was the earthly son of a rugged carpenter and a humble handmaiden. Yeah, King King Saul was a handsome and striking figure whose appearance and stature stood out among the best. But this king was rather average looking. Matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah said of his appearance, he had no form of comeliness that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Yeah, King Saul possessed houses and lands in all of Israel, but this king said of himself as he walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I tell you this morning, King Saul was a powerful man, didn't need for anything, owned everything he had. But this king, do you know who I'm talking about this morning? This king, this other king from Nazareth, went through life borrowing everything he had. It said he was born in a borrowed stable. He preached from a borrowed boat. When he fed the multitude, he borrowed a little boy's lunch. He rode on a borrowed mule into Jerusalem. He had his last supper with his disciples in a borrowed upper room. And when he died, he was buried in a borrowed tomb. Oh, praise his holy name. I tell you, the only thing that belonged to this king was his clothes and his cross. Oh, praise his name. But the sins that made up that cross were not his either, but they were taken from you and taken from me. Oh, praise his name. That's why he's my king. Is he your king today? What about you this morning? And how many can say it's not my way, but it's all about his way? I'm not gonna do it my way, but I'm gonna do it God's way. Oh, brothers, don't you let success go to your head. Don't you let sin stand in your way. Don't you let self come before God. Don't let your way get in God's way. But like that other king, Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways. Yeah, all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall. How many know he shall? He shall direct your path in all of your ways, good ways and bad ways, up ways and down ways, right ways and wrong ways. Acknowledge the Lord, he shall direct your path. I need about 99 men, and I'll make 100 to rise up this morning and say, I'm gonna do it God's way and not my way. If I do it God's way, how many know he'll make a way? How many know he'll bring you out? How many know he'll lead the path? How many know he will provide? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he make a way out of no way? If you know what I'm talking about, and you're gonna do it your way, I need to ask you a question, and I need an answer to this thing. I need to ask you a question today. Won't he do it? Did you hear what I asked? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Son, yes. If you know the Lord will, yes. I know he will. Yes, he will.
This concludes broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. In order to obtain this service in its entirety, please reference number 062418. 062418. When a man gets in God's way, give us a call, 803-796-6103. 803-796-6103 is the number to call. Call today. Put this one in your library. And I'd like to thank each and every one of you for all your support. Have a blessed week in the Lord.